Good afternoon and a greeting of peace. I'm speaking to you from another continent, another country far away, but I think we're all going through the same experiences of lockdown. I was supposed to be actually flying back to London tomorrow, but as it stands, I have no idea when I'm going to be able to leave this country because, as you can imagine, we are also in a state of lockdown, just as you are. And in fact, actually, probably a little bit stricter than what's happening in Britain today. But similar stories. And it's very interesting that our world has been turned upside down within the space of a few weeks. At the beginning of February, I could not have imagined that plans could change for everyone across the world so dramatically, so quickly. And yet we are seeing maybe one of the impacts of globalization. We've talked about a global village and how one thing impacts another. And now we're actually witnessing that in a very, very real way. So how does that impact me? Maybe it impacts my job. We're very lucky in the UK that the government has been very kind and has helped out many people. And there are plans to help others where help hasn't yet been possible. So we're fortunate. In some countries, like in India, it isn't so easy to get that help because of the vast, vast population. And I think that the lockdown here started early and very severely because of the huge population, and things can go very, very badly out of hand. And so it seems very stern, draconian, that it's been necessary. And given all of this situation, should I be worried? Well, I ask myself the question, is my worry going to help anyone? Is it going to help me? Is it going to help my family, my neighbor? What is it going to do to me inside, in here? Well, worry is probably going to cause a lot of confusion. And even the possibilities that are open to me, I won't be able to see. Have you ever been in a snowstorm or a dust storm, a sandstorm? I've been in both. And what happens is that if you're driving, you just have to come to a standstill because you don't know where you're going, you won't know what you're going to crash into. Just stop. And because you've then been able to stop, you let the dust go, you let the snow settle, and then it's a bit clearer. You know where to go. But worry is like that. It's the dust storm, the snowstorm in here. And it doesn't allow me to see what my options are clearly at all. I'm not able to know where it is I need to go and how to be able to get there. So worry isn't a solution. But how do I stop worrying? Well, okay, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But what about astrology? Can I look into a crystal ball or ask somebody else to look into a crystal ball and tell me what the future holds? Well, I don't know who to trust. I really don't. Is there any truth in it? I have no idea. So no, I don't want to go to an astrologer or become an astrologer myself. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But at this moment, let me not clutter my mind with unnecessary things. And so what do I do? I know that whatever it is I think and say and do right now, today, is what's going to determine my future. Okay, so what do I do? I know that my thoughts, my words, my actions determine my future. And so is it possible for me to take charge of what's going on in my thinking, in my perception, in my awareness? Yes, that much I can do. Why? Because I know that I create my own thoughts. Yes, there are different circumstances and different situations, but it's not the situations and the circumstances that actually create my thinking. It's something inside of me, because many of us are in the same situation now today, but some of us will face life with a smile. Some of us will say, oh, this is absolutely awful. What am I going to do? How can I manage? How am I going to be able to carry on like this? And it's not just an artificial state of positive thinking. It's really understanding what's underlying this whole crisis or any situation that I find myself in, and being able to try and look at it from different angles to get the whole picture. You know, they have a story in India. People walk into a room blindfolded, and there's an elephant in the room. And they come in from different directions into the room, and someone touches the side, the big, big belly, and they say, is this a wall? Somebody touches the trunk, the big, big nose, and they say, is this a water pipe? Somebody else touches the ears, and they're very floppy, and it's like a fan. And they say, well, is this a fan? So different people have different interpretations, and only when they take off their blindfolds can they see that everything they were saying seemed real to them at the time, but now they can see the whole picture, the better picture. And so it's important that you see my whole face, you get the whole picture. But seeing the story of the present time and seeing a big picture is important. And when I see the big picture, it begins to make sense. And it then feels that, yes, I can deal with this in a better way than I could have before. And so, not just getting into the doing that we were accustomed to. Drama, I call it life, I call it drama. I call it the universe. Somehow, they contrived to make all of this happen, to be able to make us stop. There was a very interesting thing that might have come to you. I think it went viral. It was a letter from coronavirus to humanity. And somewhere along the line, it said, I stopped everything, but you didn't stop. I stopped so much, but you just carried on and on and on. The fires came in the bush, you carried on. The storms and tempests and hurricanes came, you carried on. They continued to log the wood, and you carried on. And you didn't stop. And now I've made you stop so that you can start listening. You weren't listening before. And so nature is speaking to us. Drama is speaking to us and saying, just stop and see what's going on. Listen. And listen not only to the silence that's outside and around you, whereas before there was a lot of clamor and noise, but also listen to the birds and bees. There have been several videos of the animals taking over the big cities. Sea seals in some place, the ducks in another place, and in London, the pigeons taking over Trafalgar Square. Deer being seen where there was just traffic before. So the animals are making their presence known. And we've had to just stop and listen and watch. But in the stopping, when I'm doing, 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 there's nothing about the being. And so now in the stopping, can I take advantage of this and start experimenting and experiencing the being that I truly am? Social distance is very interesting because we think that we are being made to cut off from our friends and from those whom we love. And yes, I know that that's not an easy thing to experience. But maybe there's an invitation in all of this. And the invitation is to start a relationship with myself. When was the last time you had a dialogue with yourself? Can't even remember. And now there's an opportunity. And it is very, very important in the sense that if I don't talk to myself and get to know myself a little better, I'm not going to be able to manage relationships with others very well. And maybe this is why we've had to stop. I wasn't managing my relationships in the best way possible. Now, when I start a relationship with myself, with my own inner being, through that, maybe I'll understand more about myself, but I'll also be able to understand what it is that others need from me, and maybe I can supply that to them. So this is a time which is a very precious time, a time in which I can get to know myself better and better. And so let me start that journey inside to discover who I truly am and what are the inner treasures that I carry within myself. I didn't even know I had inner treasures, actually. But as I go on the inner journey, I make that discovery. And it's very simple. I know that I'm more than just this physical body, though that's for sure, because I pick up vibrations, I can feel vibrations, I can pick up signals, I can understand, I can feel, I can remember. All of these things are happening deep, deep, deep inside of me, within the core of my being. And so I want to go there and see exactly what's going on inside. And this is why many, many people now are recommending time for the self in reflection or in meditation or in silence. And of course, the world is a big, big supermarket. And it's a spiritual supermarket too. So there's many, many things on offer at variety of prices. And so that should be the first signal for me. Spirituality doesn't come at a price. Meditation can't be sold. Someone can show you what they're doing, but you have to do it yourself. And so this is why there can't be a price tag on it, because me or any other teacher won't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. But what we can do is to share our own understanding and our own experience, and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And so what we need to do, I can go on that inner journey and start seeing where my thoughts are coming from. And when I understand that, this is also then the way in which I can deal with worry and anxiety, because it's my own thoughts, my creation, that's causing this worry and anxiety, and then further on down the line, stress and health issues. By the way, if you're very anxious and very fearful, important that you should stop that. And it's possible. Why? Because if I'm afraid, if I'm anxious, my immunity goes down. And at this point of time, that's the last thing you want. What you want to do is to be able to raise your immunity. Nothing should damage it so that it comes down. And worry and fear and anxiety, loss of hope, these are the things that cause the immunity to come down, actually. But when I realize that what I can do is to actually watch my thoughts, take a moment, even now, just sit still. Can you watch your thoughts? Many, many thoughts in many different directions going here and there and everywhere. That's what's happening. But can I keep watching my thoughts? It's very interesting because when I start watching my thoughts, the speed of my thoughts slows down. Slowly, slowly. And I can feel that there's a weight that's lifted off my mind. Because when there were fast, fast, fast thoughts and no possibility of actually putting those thoughts into practical effect at this particular time, I can't run around and do this and this and this and this like I used to. So it's all in my head, and my head gets heavier and heavier and more blocked. But I clear space. I clear the clutter. Maybe this is a time for decluttering your room. Maybe it's a time for decluttering your house. But most of all, it's a time to declutter your mind. Take this opportunity to declutter. And so decluttering my mind means slowing down the speed so that I can take charge. What happens when you drive too fast? There's a high risk, a high possibility that something somewhere will go out of control. And so this is why we have speed limits on our roads. The speed limit in here, well, it's up to me. I can decide what is comfortable for me, and I can decide what is good for my well-being. Good for my mind, good for my body. Both things work together. My mind and body are in constant communication. The stress in here is impacting the body. So my body is feeling stressed and uncomfortable, and aches and pains begin. But my body gets exhausted and tired because I've been running around too much. That definitely has an impact on my mind. So this is an opportunity. It seems to be a dark, dark cloud. But as they say, there's a silver lining. And one of the silver linings is that I have the possibility of going on this inner journey and being able to get to know myself. All the thoughts that we usually get are related to the external stimuli, what I see, what I hear. There's not much creative thinking going on in here. And so now that there's not so much to do running around, that automatically has slowed down. But this machine is too fast. It's accustomed to moving very, very quickly. But now I'm saying, okay, stop. Stop for a moment. And now just slow down. And now, let me go deeper and deeper inside myself. And as I go deep inside, I realize that there's a treasure store of peace that is there within. I've never done this journey before, so I didn't know what was inside of me. I was too busy looking outside all the time. There was fashion to think about, there were accessories to think about, there was all the varieties of food that's available to think about, there were too many things to think about apart from my work and responsibilities. Even leisure activities take a lot of thinking about. So now most of it is at a standstill. And so now on the inner journey, I realize that I actually have a treasure store of peace within my own inner world. And the door opens and I discover this is also actually truth within me. Outside, post-truth started a few years ago and it hasn't gone away. We don't talk about it so much anymore, but it's all around me. When you get messages on your WhatsApp, do you know whether they're for real or do you know whether they're actually a hoax? Or maybe it's misinformation, not just to fool you, but it's actually going to delude you and take you in the wrong direction. Even with the virus, so much misinformation. But also, together with that, yes, there's some things that are coming from the right sources which are true. And I have to listen and I have to learn and understand and follow those instructions because they're coming from the right source. And so let me not get into anything which is going to be a distraction. Let me just stay safe, but also go deeper and deeper inside and find the truth that is there inside of me, within me. Let me find the love that's there within. And most of all, let me find my own inner joy. Do you remember as a child, what did it take to make you happy? You had a ball, you had a little bit of space, and you played with the ball, and you were very, very happy. But it wasn't actually the ball that was making you happy. Your inner joy, the innocence of childhood, was already there. And so that joy was then being expressed, throwing a ball around. It didn't take much to make you happy. Because you knew that that was who you were. You were joy. You were filled with life. You were filled with enthusiasm. And you didn't understand it in terms of logic or reason, but it was there in a very natural way. Can I go back to that innocence where it's not external things that make me happy, but my inner journey is making me realize that I'd forgotten about my own treasure store. And I'm discovering that treasure store and I'm finding that, yes, it's there and there's a fountain of joy that's there within and it springs up and I can experience it. And so let me be able to experience that joy. If I can do this for myself, find the peace, the love, the truth, the joy, this will be then what I can give to others. What am I giving to others? Whatever I have inside of me is what's going to come out and I share and I give. You know, with some people, if you go to them, they'll chew your ear and tell you all about their aches and pains and nobody's listening to me, but you have to listen to me now. And that's what they've been thinking about. That's what they've been experiencing. So that's what they've been to share. Somebody else, and they're busy with the stock market, and they're seeing you take a deep, deep dive, and they're very concerned, very worried. And so that's all they're going to talk about with you. So whatever's going on in your head is what you share, of course. So if what's going on in my own inner world is my ability to touch my own treasure store and experience the inner qualities that I actually have within myself. I don't need to look for them. I don't need to go outside. I don't need to catch them from anyone. They're there within me. Each and every single one of us has those beautiful qualities. And so when I connect with those, then that's what I'm experiencing. And so that's what I'm going to share. Not just with my family. Yes, I'm with my immediate family and I have to share with them. How often is it that I sit down and have a proper conversation with my family? But then beyond, let me share with my friends, people I haven't connected with for a while. Now I have the space, now I have the possibility. They're not going to be away, they've not gone out to the theater, they've not gone out to dinner, they're at home. And so let me chat with them. and renew that friendship, that companionship that we used to enjoy that we've forgotten about. Let me rekindle that flame of friendship again. The conversation that I have inside my mind with myself is then also the conversation that I can have with my immediate family. A little while ago, there were classic viral videos or photographs that were circulating in which you'd see a family of four sitting around the table, but they weren't talking to each other. What were they doing? They were looking at their devices. And so one was looking at something here, another here, another here, another here. And mum is trying to get a conversation going and it's not happening. Or maybe even mum is just looking at a device. And so we'd forgotten that, never mind far away people that I have to connect with, first connection has to be with me, myself. Second connection has to be with my immediate family. Let me be able to communicate with them through my eyes, through my words, through my smile. It's been a long time since families actually sat and ate together. And yes, I know the devices are still operational. I know that the television is still probably on in the background. But is it possible now to appreciate my family? And if I'm alone, that's okay, because my conversation with myself will have taken away any aspect of loneliness. Physically, I'm alone, but I don't have to be lonely being on my own. I can have a dialogue with the inner being, the real me, and that's going to bring back happiness into my life. And yes, I'm grateful for the devices. It's devices that are allowing me to connect with you now, but also it's going to allow me to connect with people around me who I can't meet, even my neighbors. Can I phone them and ask them how they're doing? Maybe people down the road. I can't go to visit them, but I can phone them and ask if they need any help. One of the beautiful things of this whole period has been to see how much people are willing to help. You know, the natural quality of a human being is compassion. Being able to communicate, being able to share with each other, to be able to do something together, to be able to connect, communicate. But we don't often do that because we're too busy. Busy doing what? Well, whatever it is we were busy doing, we were busy. And now, let me be able to express that compassion and care and love with those who are around me, my neighbors, my friends. Maybe I do reach out far away because I know that at the other end of the planet, they're going through the same problems as we are facing here right now. And so again, the silver lining. I know that this is something that is serious. I know that it's dangerous. I know that it's taking a huge toll. And I know that there's bereavement. But if I'm to survive, not just for one day, but beyond that, next week and the week after, and today we heard that maybe the impact of this is going to be for some months. You know, when the whole thing started around, it really became clear that it was going to become global. At least for me, that happened sort of like early March. It didn't happen before that. But that's now already like 5 weeks ago. But at that time, I thought that, you know, by maybe the end of April, early May, things will have settled. And today, we've been told probably not. It's going to be maybe some time to go. And so I have to keep up my spirit. I have to keep up my will to be well and alive. And I have to be able to share that love of life with others around me. So it's not ignoring the dark side of what's going on, but it's important for me to stay up above and know that there isn't just dark, but there's also light, that there is something which is there beyond all of this. And so this is why I think it's important to be able to see all the good things that are coming out of this situation. And yes, for sure, this too will pass. The seasons come and go, the day comes and goes, the night comes and goes. And so Corona has come and it'll go for sure. But meanwhile, I need to be able to keep my own spirits high and be able to benefit in whatever way is possible from the current times. I'm seeing how we've lost touch with nature. We've stopped listening to the birds. Maybe the birds weren't singing anymore because of the huge amount of pollution right from early on. There was a time when if I needed to go to the airport in London, if I left, say, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd find the streets very clear, very empty. Then it shifted. 6 o'clock in the morning. And yes, still the roads were clear. But now, if I want to get a clear road, it has to be. Well, now means before. But now, at this moment, with the story of the virus, yes, it's now not at all clear what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. But I know that life is going to carry on. But how is it going to change? If I've changed my thinking and I've learned to tap into my own inner resources, because I don't have access to many resources outside, so I've been pushed into a corner, so it's okay. But now I learn to tap the inner resources within. How do I behave? I behave with a greater amount of peace, a greater amount of stability. Things were so hectic before that maybe I was a little bit volatile. Little things would happen and I'd explode. Maybe big things would happen and I would explode. But today, if I've learned to be peaceful, I can also find that inner strength of stability, which makes me very, very stable inside. So things go up and down around me and here and there, but there's the inner core of peace that keeps me grounded and very firm and stable. So that, again, I know what I need to do. If I'm volatile, then I don't know what I need to do. And people around me can't actually develop trust, because I may be here one morning, next morning I may be there, or even 1 hour I'm okay, and the next hour I'm not so okay. And so challenges keep coming in that way. But my own inner peace gives me stability. They say that love is the opposite of fear. And when I've learned to love myself, I also learn to trust myself. But equally, and this love isn't the romantic one of red roses, but more it's the inclusive one in which there's safety and protection for all. And so if there's genuine love in my heart, this reaches my neighbors, not just my family, but it reaches everyone around me. And they can feel safe in my company. They can feel that there's going to be protection. Love offers protection and safety. It removes fear. And so not only with that inner power of love can I be fearless, but I can also inspire others to be fearless too. I can look into the future and I can say, well, I've had the courage and the faith to go through this, Whatever the future holds, I'll be able to deal with it. I'll be more equipped, more experienced, and more in charge of myself so that I know how to deal with things out there. So there are many, many blessings in every single situation in which we find ourselves. I would also suggest that you start your day a little bit differently. Maybe you worked shifts and so you didn't even know what was day, what was night. Maybe now you're at home and you don't work shifts. I know our NHS workers are having to work around the clock, never mind shifts. And so much love and appreciation and regard for all that they do. But for the vast majority, you're at home. And so our timetable needs to be structured. If I say, oh, it doesn't really matter what time I get up, the whole day is going to go down, down, down in a spiral. But if I maintain my own self-discipline, beginning with the little things, waking up at my set time, don't change your time. Don't say, I'll have a lie-in because I don't have to report to work. I can work from home. No, stick to a proper timetable. In fact, I'm going to suggest something that you may want to experiment with. Try getting up a little earlier than you would have done otherwise. Why? Because that is me time. That is your time. That morning time of silence is a very important thing that you can experiment with. Time for yourself, your inner journey, your spiritual study from any materials that appeal to you. There's a lot available in the world today. It's all available online. So set your timetable, the morning time, for that recharging of your own inner battery. And you'll begin the day with a smile, and your family is going to be smiling back at you. And if you're alone, you can connect with others and they'll be smiling back at you too. And then through the day, just see if there can be little pauses through the day, a minute, 2 minutes, just to come back here. And just to recharge and come back to your own inner core values. That's important. You can experiment with that too. Do something for your family. When was the last time that you cooked for them? Maybe this morning, but maybe it's been a little while. And so maybe now the takeaways and the carryaways and all of that, or the deliveries, maybe that's happening or not happening, I'm not sure. But try experimenting, cooking even something very simple, being creative, throwing a few veggies into the pan, a different combination from the one that you've been used to. Try it, experiment with it, and it'll probably work out very, very well. Your family will appreciate it too. And so keep finding things that are simple and easy and can be done at home, but are able to give you the space mentally. Because yes, one can work from home, but I'm sure it's not an 8-hour day like you are used to. And many people working 10 hours, 12 hours a day. So now a break. And so yes, I do what I need to do, but now can I do it with love? With joy. The same thing done because I have to, because I'm supposed to. And the other, because I want to. I like it. I enjoy it. There's a big, big difference in the outcome of both. In one, yes, the job has been done, but it's okay. It's standard. It's normal. But something done with love, and it's extra special, it's extraordinary, and so it carries the power of love within it. So change not the things that you're doing, but the way in which you're doing them. Aware of yourself, in touch with yourself, and able to help others with that also. Let me experiment with a few minutes of silence now and sit comfortably, alert, both feet on the ground, and let the body relax. And I'll speak out my own thoughts and guide us into meditation. Sitting quietly, I reflect on the things I've been hearing about, and I experiment, going deeper and deeper inside my own inner world. And in that space inside, where only I can enter, I discover peace. Peace is natural. Peace is familiar. Peace is who I am. I hold this peace in my awareness. And now I can send out vibrations of peace to everyone in my home, so that each of those individuals may be peaceful. I send out these pure thoughts of peace out into my neighborhood, my community. And the vibrations of peace touch everyone's hearts and enable them to have peace. I send out peace to all the animals, all forms of life, and they feel safe and protected. And they jump with joy. They're safe. I send out peace to the elements of nature. I have disturbed nature, exploited and aggressed nature, and now sending out thoughts of peace to nature restores harmony. Harmony between me and nature, and harmony between the elements themselves, so that nature becomes calm and cooperates again. Peace and good wishes and good health for all are the vibrations that surround this planet. And now I come back to the present moment in the physical dimension here and now. But I carry this experience and hold it with myself. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sister Jenti. Actually, we haven't had loads of questions. So I think you've answered most things for most people, but there is two very simple questions. I think, well, one is a very simple question, a yes or a no answer. So I'll ask you that last. But the first question is, you touched on relationships, you touched on the mind. for some people, there is this concern or this sense of overwhelm. You're homeschooling your children, you're doing your job in between. There may be elderly relatives that you're also looking out for. How are you meant to cope with that sense of overwhelm when really it's not a question of multitasking anymore? It's a question of juggling.
If I keep the early morning hours for myself and I really recharge my own inner battery, my mind is very clear. Then I know what I have to do urgently. Then I also know what I can postpone till later on in the day. But I'm able to set my mind so that then I'm able to deal with each aspect of everything you mentioned. But there's a time and space for everything, because generally there is. What usually happens is that because we feel overwhelmed, then we start doing all sorts of tiddly little bits that are not essential now. Yes, I need to do them at some point, but I don't have to focus on them now. And so when the mind is clear, I can see what it is I need to give my attention to here and now immediately. And having taken care of the immediate things, then I have the whole day in which to look after all the other things. And so I think it's a question of setting my own timetable. We're not very good at doing that. We get very easily distracted. And so I think that starting my day with that recharge is important. Then I'll be more able to look after things through the day.
Okay, here's another question that's just come in. Somebody's a new meditator and they're very enthusiastic about getting their meditation practice going and keeping it strong. Do you have any special tips for them, for their meditation practice?
Congratulations for having started the journey, because that's the big step. It really is. And now that you've started, just be disciplined about it. Not a word we like, but I think in this case it's very apt. Fix a time, and you know my preference by now that it's the early morning. So set your timetable so that maybe 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes to start, but 15 minutes is also good. And then you can increase it whenever you're ready for that. But 15 minutes in the morning, and fix a place where you're going to meditate. Maybe you live in one room, a studio. Well, fix a corner. Maybe you live in space where you can have not just a little corner for meditation, but a little niche, a little room. Fine. But fix a space. And it'll induce the awareness of meditation. You know the time, you know the place, and you begin to develop a good habit for a change. We've got lots of bad habits, but a good habit, so that then you're able to go into that space and the ambiance is already there, your mood is already set, and you can begin. And the second thing is, try keeping this awareness of the inner being, the light that I am, as much as possible through the day. That really is the biggest secret. Your awareness through the day is going to determine the quality of your meditation.
Okay. And the next question, they're coming in fast now. I don't promise we're going to get through all of them, but let's look at them. There's somebody who is actually an NHS. NHS director, whose responsibilities include looking after the support staff on the front line and obviously the patients and their needs. And you can imagine it's emotionally draining. What would you suggest? Is there anything you could advise?
Firstly, a big thank you for all the work that you and all the different teams that are with you are doing. Where would we be without all of you? So that's first. The second, you need a lot of inner power, and you're not going to be able to get it from here and there and wherever. But silence. Take the time for yourself. And maybe there's no such thing as first thing in the morning for you anymore, because it's all around the clock. But whenever is a little space that you see is available, take that space, even if it's 1 minute, just 1 minute in which you go inside and find that inner peace and power, and even a minute of recharging yourself is going to develop your capacity to help others around you, because they're all looking at you. They're wanting to take your strength, they're wanting to take your guidance, they're wanting to take your instructions, they're wanting your help. And so a minute, even a minute for yourself, maybe make it a fixture. Every hour, on the hour, you take a minute for yourself, and you'll find that that gives you the power, the capacity to carry on doing the things that you need to do. Because otherwise, the rest of the time, 59 minutes is giving, giving, giving. But 1 minute of recharging will prepare you for the next 59 minutes.
Thank you. There's questions on fear, whether it's the fear of actually catching the virus or being somebody who may actually have it and may by accident share it with somebody else, be contagious. How do you deal with fear?
Most of our fears are unfounded, thankfully. And although the population is a huge number of people, but how many of the population actually catch the virus? It's a small percentage. If I'm afraid, that's actually lowering my resistance and my immunity. And so what I have to do is be affirmative and say, I'm going to stay strong and healthy so that I can serve others. So don't make it selfish. I want to be strong and healthy. But no, I want to be strong and healthy, but it's so that I'm not taking service from others, but I have the capacity to be able to give help to others. And so when the thought comes, oh, what's going to happen if? No, it hasn't happened yet, and it's never going to happen to me, maybe, if I take the right precautions. Yes, the washing of the hands and all of these things, the external things that I need to do, I have to do. The social distance, let me maintain all of that, but let me have that affirmation. I'm going to be well and strong so that I can help others. And I think that affirmation, which is service-oriented, is going to be of safety and protection for yourself also. And if by chance I already have it, then again, I know that there's been very good rates of recovery in many, many cases. Again, that's part of the statistics that we're seeing. It's not a huge proportion of people who die. It's a certain proportion, yes, but not a huge proportion. And so if I'm unwell, let me follow the procedures I've been told, whether it's rest, whether it's isolation, whatever it is, but let me follow that through. And one other thing, food. If I eat food that's filled with fear, I'm going to get more afraid. And by that, I mean food that is not plant-based. When it's food that is plant-based, there's no fear factor involved. But when it's food that's animal-based, then there's fear. That animal was afraid when it died. And I don't want to be too graphic about it, but you can understand. And so let me switch my diet, if I can possibly, to a plant-based diet, surprising though it may seem, it's real. It will reduce any level of fear within myself, but also in the context of recovery, plant-based diet is what is more natural for the human body. And so then it'll aid my journey for recovery. It's definitely going to be much, much healthier. So having the right foods, find out. There's a lot of information on Google and all sorts of information around. What would be the right food for me to have in this context? Vitamin C, a lot of vitamin C, all of that. So external things, but mentally, I know that I can be well again. I have many responsibilities. I have to serve many others. I want to be well. I can be well.
Okay, next question. How can you be kinder in relationships when others are tense or anxious?
It's especially at that moment that your kindness is important. Just make them a cup of tea. And if they're not into tea and coffee, make them a hot drink of lemon and honey, whatever it is that suits them. But show something tangible, because kindness is, yes, in my heart, in my mind, but I have to express it in some way or another. And so let me make time to be able to be with them. Let me make time to say a few kind words to them. But let me give them something that can help them physically also. And it'll make them less tense, less anxious. Let me pull up a chair for them and say, come, sit down, let's have a chat.
And I'm going to have to make this, I think, the last question for you. If you could pinpoint one lesson from this whole experience, what would it be?
To make us realize that we are not the masters of nature. Nature and the world around us has its own momentum, has its own laws that we must learn and then respect. At the moment, we don't even know what are the laws of nature. We've forgotten that relationship with nature. And so I think this is the big, big lesson. Stop, see what nature is telling us, listen to the laws of nature, and follow them.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that was a lie. There are two questions. This one is important, I think, for somebody, very much so. They're not going to have a roof over their head very shortly. And the people who are evicting them are not self-isolating. So you can imagine the hurt and within the individual. What would you advise to be able to get over the pain that's being caused to them?
Have faith. Faith that goodness will prevail, that there'll be someone who can give them some help, and to maintain hope and go find some help, because sometimes you need to phone around, you need to maybe go somewhere, ask somebody what is help that's available. I think Britain is still one of the lucky places where we do have a lot of help that's available. So I know it's seems as if there's nothing, no one anywhere can help you, but there must be. And so maintain the faith that goodness will prevail and there will be help available. So keep that hope and go look for that. Don't just sit down and cry and say, woe is me, what can I do? I know it's a very, very sad situation to be in, very painful, but just go seek that help. Maybe it's a few phone calls that will give you that help. Maybe it'll be going to a place where you need to be. I'm sure the police will let you go there if you tell them that this is why you're going somewhere. But keep that faith that there will be goodness that will prevail.
Thank you. And the final question. Could we request you do another talk? And a number of people have made that request. Is that possible?
Surely, definitely, we'll do that.
Lovely. And for those of you who are asking, will this be available, recorded later for you to share with your friends? We hope that's possible. Stay in touch and we'll let you know where to find the links. Thank you very, very much, Jintiben. We hope that you get back to London soon, for sure, from India. Thank you for the 230 plus people that joined us and the questions that you all shared.
Thank you to everyone.